Please, to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 10, book of wisdom, amen? Boy, wisdom is the greatest blessing in life, to learn to live with that, and learn to live by wisdom. What a great blessing. Proverbs chapter 10 is where we're at in the Bible this morning. My wife reminded me that also we are going to be doing meals for Miss Glenda and Bill this week. If you would like to help with that, there is a sign-up sheet on back also for that. And then see Mrs. Whittington if you have any questions about any of these things. Or she, I guess, is planning the meal. Where'd my wife go? She's in class. All right, well, I'll hold off on that particular announcement until I get that one clarified. And do keep that in mind. By the way, Titus is going to be handling everything around here this week. And I told him this is a good opportunity for you. He wants to be a pastor one day. So I said, book learning's over. Amen. Book learning's over. Now it's time to get at it and do it practically. Amen. And so he'll get broken real good this week. So you keep him in your mind and in your prayers this week also. All right, Proverbs chapter 10. And let's begin with verse number 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causes shame. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. Let's stop right there. We'll pray this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word this morning. Thank you for the truths of wisdom, God, how they bless us and use our life. We can use our life for you as a testimony. Thank you, Lord, that we have wisdom to guide us in life. Lord, we need a guide in life. We need to know truth in our own hearts. And so I pray you take these simple words that we give this morning from thy word and make them powerful in our lives. Make them, Lord, ever present in our minds when we need them. As a people that desire your wisdom, we know you said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally. So we pray for that wisdom, Lord, in our own life, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I begin, I have a book that I found years ago. It's one of the most valuable books I have. And it's an old book, and you can see how old that is. And it's called Useful Quotations. It's a book, and all it is it goes from subject to subject and gives useful quotations on it. And I have to be careful. It's the old paper, and it's real brittle. And so I have to be careful that I'm good with it. So I brought it this morning to read. I found a few of the principles of wisdom in it that are in here, some useful quotations. And I like some of them. And I thought I'd just give you a couple of them here real quick. Charles Spurgeon, that great preacher, said this. He said, "Wisdom is the right use of knowledge. To know is not to be wise. Many men know a great deal and are all greater fools for it. There is no fool so great as a fool as a group, there is no fool so great as a fool as a knowing fool. But to know how to use knowledge is to have wisdom. Amen. That's good. I like that. Another man said, God gives men wisdom as he gives them gold. The treasure house is not the mint, but the mine. That's good. That's good. Here's a quote I like. This is one of my favorites. No man can be wise on an empty stomach. Amen. Now, if you think a little deeper on that thought, there's a spiritual truth there. And that is, the wise man is blessed by God, so he has something, some substance in his life. He gets to eat food. One of the blessings of God in working in life is we get to eat. Amen. And I'm against hunger. Amen. But you think about it. A man who lives wisely has a provision in his own life. What a blessing. Amen. One man said, a wise man's day is worth more than a fool's life. That's good. Well, I can't read all of them. This one has several pages of them. Anyhow, I just wanted to read a couple of those to you. And, you know, these are tools that us preachers use a lot, that we need. And this is a book, you won't find this book anywhere else. So if you steal it, you're in big trouble with me. Amen. But, anyhow, all right, well, let's look at the lesson this morning. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 10 and let's just pull out the things. And I've entitled the lesson today, What Wisdom Teaches Us. What Wisdom Teaches Us. Now, again, wisdom is only good if we put it into practical living in our life. Wisdom is not so we can know great things. Wisdom is not just so that we can be known or seen. Wisdom is not for our own notoriety. In fact, true wisdom creates a humility in us. And a recognition that we're not much, you know. And I think that's a very important thing for a Christian to understand is that we are nothing and God is everything. Amen. Amen? He must increase, I must decrease. And I think there's a point of wisdom there in understanding that we are needy for wisdom. And that God provides that wisdom to those who are of a humble heart. You know, a proud person will not seek wisdom. He thinks he already has it. But no man can have true wisdom outside of God. And we certainly cannot apply true wisdom without God and His Word. So this gives us the importance and the vitalness of wisdom in our life. Now let's look and see what wisdom is teaching us here in this passage, verse 1. Notice, here's the first point he's teaching us. Number one is to make our parents glad, to make our parents glad. Verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. The word heaviness means sorrow. And you know, a foolish son hurts his mother. A foolish son gives a constant heaviness, a constant sorrow to a mother. You know, it goes to show something that we don't just live our lives for ourselves. The lives that we live, we have to also understand that wisdom teaches us that they have an effect on others. And I not only want to please the Lord for me, but I want to please the Lord for my parents. Now, my parents have gone to heaven. But, you know, I don't want to live my life in such a way to bring them sorrow or to increase a burden on their heart. And this is wisdom, is what God's saying. Wisdom. Why? Hey, listen, the more we are better to our parents, the better God blesses us. And the better God even uses our parents to be a blessing to us. But you don't want to be a heaviness, a sorrow to your parents. And you know, as parents get older, it's so important to take burdens off of them rather than add burdens to them. Amen. And I want to encourage any burden you can take off of your parents, praise the Lord. Amen. You say, well, my parents are dead and gone to heaven. And, you know, there is no burden to take off in that instance. But can I say this? What we've done, what we sow, we often reap. And if we bring heaviness to somebody else, don't be surprised if somebody else brings heaviness to you. And, you know, I find it uncanny in life. There are some people that can just treat people bad, but then they expect everybody else to treat them good.
Right.
How does that work? That doesn't work. It's spiritually, spiritually cannot work. You will reap what you sow in life. The more you give out of yourself to lighten others' loads, the more others are going to want to lighten your load. And so wisdom says that I must preemptively lighten the load. And the key, and of course, it talks to everyone in that matter. But the main point is to your parents. To your parents. I hope that when my parents passed away, they were not burdened down with me in my life. I want them to be happy and joyful about it. So we ought to live our life like that. All right? And that's wisdom. Okay? All right. Secondly here, now notice the structure of this particular psalm. It begins to lose structure. This proverb, not psalm. But the proverbs now begin to jump from complete different thought to complete different thought from one verse to another. And I sought an explanation on this. And I think what really happened here is that, you know, that Solomon the king was also the judge. And people would come to Solomon, and he had a time where he would sit on his throne every day, and the common people would come to him and give him their problems. And he would have to provide the answer. But his answer was to be wise, but it was also law. It was legal to obey what the king told you to do. So Solomon the king here, and I believe this is one reason why he asked God for wisdom, because he knew that he was going to be imparting truth that people needed for their problems in life. And so Solomon felt this burden, this weight, shall we say, to be a good judge, a godly judge. And so one explanation for the possibility of why these proverbs jump from random thought to random thought is that here is Solomon. A problem is approached to him, and God gives him the wisdom to answer that problem. And he writes down these principles from thought to thought as different people with different problems would approach him as the judge of Israel. And it was his heart to not have them do what he wanted them to do, but that God would give him the wisdom for them so that their life would be blessed. Well, that's a true judge. That is a real judge. You know, the real judge, if you want to know a real judge, it's a judge who judges people in accordance to how God would have them be in their life. That's a real judge. And so I think that's possibly one explanation for why the structure is that way in the book of Proverbs. Okay, so now let's go to verse 2. Let's dig into it. Verse 2, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. So wisdom teaches us that righteous living fills the soul. Now I want you to know he's not talking about physical food, because he's talking about the soul here in verse. I'm off track here. Here's my point, number two. Forget what I just said there. Here we go. Verse two. Money gotten wrongfully will not eventually profit. Money gotten wrongfully will not eventually profit. Money gotten by wrong means won't profit us. You know, how many of you get these scammers texting you, your phone, every week? I get them almost every day. And can I say, be aware, because a lot of them are clever. But they're just trying to gain money. I've heard about the Nigerian organization over there. That group has made billions of dollars off of scamming people. Can I tell you, that's no way to live, because the scammer always has to keep running and hiding all his life. And money cannot pay the peace that a person needs. Because you see, life is not about money. People think it is. Life is about living your life where you can live it with peace and joy. And ill-gotten gain does not create that. It gives you burdens. It gives you, you got to always be looking over your shoulder. I saw a documentary on these scammers one time. And boy, they run from place to place. They have to rent a house. Some of these people leave millions and billions of dollars behind so they can run and hide. By the way, it's hard to spend money when you're in jail. Right? Ill-gotten gain is not the way to live. It's better to live a peaceable life with a little than it is to live with this great amount of money. Now, the world promotes this today. And theft and stealing and ill-gotten gain have always been a part of every society. It's never going to go away. But can I tell you, those who get involved in that always have to live with a negative conscience. And they have to live with a bad thing. Whenever I get a scammer texting me, I just send them back a Bible verse. Amen? I send them a Bible verse. I try to witness to them. I got a plan of salvation copied in my clipboard. And I just hit that plan of salvation, boom, and send them the plan of salvation. Because that's what they need. They need forgiveness from that sin that they're doing. So ill-gotten gain. A Christian ought never do anything by ill-gotten gain, because once you got it, then you have to live with your conscience once you've had it. And the best way to live is to live with a good, clear conscience. Amen? And that is worth far more than any amount of money a person could ever have. Okay, so there's wisdom here. Wisdom is to realize I've got to do it. Do financial things and monetary things in a wise way. I may have less in the end, but you know what? God always blesses that, and so he always makes, and we forget that. We forget the blessings of God attached with righteous living. And so if we'll learn to just make the right choices in our money and in the gaining of money, then we'll do fine. Years ago, I worked for Payless Cashways. How many remember Payless Cashways? Remember Payless? I worked for Payless Cashways. And one of the managers came to me one day and he said, hey, I need you to do me a job. I need you to, we ran out of fence parts and I want you to go over to Lowe's and I want you to buy all their fence parts. And then we're going to take them and put them on the shelf. I don't know. Maybe that's why Payless Cashways went out. I'm not sure. I don't know. But he said this, though. He said, now, if they ask you what you're doing, just say you're building a big fence. And I looked at the man, I said, I won't do that. If he asks me, I will tell him, I'm going back to bring these to Payless Cashways. The guy looked at me, and you know what? He got somebody else to do the job. But you know, I decided it really wasn't worth that. By the way, if a boss asks you to lie once, they'll ask you to lie twice.
Yeah, that's right.
Then they'll ask you to lie three times and four times. And that's an endless trap. So I just decided, nope, I'm not going to get into that. And, you know, I think there's some wisdom if we live our lives in those ways. Always being above board, always being straightforward and honest. And that will create good things in our personal life. Amen. So that's wisdom. All right, now let's go to verse number 3. Now we're back on track, all right? Verse 3, the Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. Okay, now he's not talking about food here. He's talking about spiritual life because it's talking about the soul of the righteous. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. So I wrote this down. Righteous living fills the soul. Righteous living fills the soul. God, if you live righteously, there's something about living that way that just gives you a fullness, a feeling of fullness, like your spirit is full, you're full, you're full of joy. It's when we do little things that are not right and compromise and don't do the right things that we feel this weight, this heaviness on us. And God doesn't want that for us. So we have to say, all right, I want my soul to be filled. I want to live my life with joy and peace and no regret. So he's talking about a spiritual life here. God desires for us to have a full spirit and a full spiritual life. And the Lord will see to that if we do right and live righteously that God will give us a joyful, full soul in our life. Well, that's the way to live. Amen? That's the way to live. All right, let's go on verse number 4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Now, he's talking here about how we do business, how we do personal business. And he's saying, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. Now, he's talking about a guy who, in his business, he doesn't do it well. He doesn't do it right. He slacks off in the business. He wants the rewards of the business, but he does not want necessarily to put out that needed effort for that business to be blessed or that job to be blessed. He does the job, but he does it in a slack way. And so the point is here that it brings a person to poverty. Have you ever had called somebody to come to your house or wherever and do a job for you that you needed done? Hey, has that ever happened to anybody? You ever had to do that? Somebody had to come fix your garage door or a repairman fix your appliance or something like that. Okay. Now, have you ever had the kind of we'll call him a repairman. You ever had a repairman come in and, man, they really did a good job. They did a better job than you thought they'd do. They didn't charge you an excessive amount, but maybe a fair amount. And they just, in other words, they did a very diligent job. And you're pleased with that? Who are you going to call next time you need that job done? You're going to go to that diligent guy because you remember that he gave you this piece that he did a good job, a right job for the fair price. And you're going to keep him in mind. And this is what it means that a diligent man, he's blessed, he succeeds. You know, any business you do, if you do it well, you can succeed. because somebody's going to appreciate that, right? And you know, I tell you, I've seen both sides, and you have too, right? You've seen both sides. You've seen the diligent job doer, and then you've seen the guy that's a slacker. You've seen both of those sides, and that slacker, what usually happens? That business usually falls apart. But the guy that does the job well will be blessed. And you know, there's a lesson in their life that wisdom will help our life to be blessed. Being just wise in whatever we do. Wise in everything we do. The diligence of how we do what we do will create God's blessings even greater in our life. Okay, let's go on. Number five. Look at verse 5. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causes shame. Now, I can't help but to think of that kid story, The Ant and the Grasshopper. You ever seen that story? Man, I've read that to my kids when they were kids. Great. You know, the ant is working diligently in the summer to bring his food. I've told you this before, but there's a red ant hill over there at the church parsonage that I love. I love that ant hill. They actually create trails going out into the grass that you can visibly see where they have worn paths down out into the grass, and they're coming back and forth. They're working diligently to bring that food in for the winter time. Then the winter comes, I don't see one ant. I don't see them for months. But as soon as summer comes, boy, there's ants all over that hill. They keep going out. They're always bringing something in, and they're always going out. And so, in other words, the point is when it's time for harvest, they're diligent in that harvest. Now, back in Bible days, we live in a monetary means today, but back in Bible days, it was somewhat different. You would, they lived in accordance to what they got off of their land. That was their substance. And the Bible talks about landmarks, and these landmarks, like large stones, were areas that marked off the area that they would inherit from their fathers and their fathers' fathers and down the line. And you know, tens of generations would have the same land, and that land would provide substance for them. And so that's how they lived. And that was the determining factor of their faithfulness and their diligence and their service to the Lord. And they would often bring those in. Sometimes they would sell them for, you know, a monetary value. They had to be diligent with the land and the things that they had. And I want to say this. It's not how much you have that's important. It's the diligence of using what you have for the Lord that matters. It doesn't matter if you have great things or if you have small things. What really matters is how you use it, your diligence in it. And so this brings wisdom. So he's saying, gather in summer. And when harvest comes, you can't sleep. My grandfather had cherry orchards, and four large orchards. And when it was cherry season, I was expected to get up early and help. And my grandfather used to hand pick cherries, 30, 40 tons a year of sweet cherries, the pie baking sweet cherries. And he used to do those, but I was expected, when it was cherry season, to get up and help go pick cherries. Now, I came along when technology made it where they had cherry shakers. Oh, I thank God for that. Amen. But technology changed, and we'd go in there with a hydraulic arm, shake the cherries, it'd run into a conveyor, and then you take the cherries and put them in cold vats of water and deliver them to the warehouse. But I still was expected to be up early, get up there and help, and get those cherries where they needed to be. Why? Because it was harvest. It was harvest. And you can't let all those. And my grandparents lived off of the those proceeds for years after their retirement. And they wouldn't have a means of living had they not, were they not diligent in harvest. And so it really is wise to make hay while the sun shines. It's a wise thing. And, you know, I fear the direction our culture is taking people in our society, and that they want to take more from people that work and give it to those that don't. Well, where's that going to end up? Where's that going to end up? That's going to end up where everybody doesn't want to work. That's all it creates. You don't give money to somebody who won't work because it won't help them to learn on their own. Now, that sounds harsh, but give a man a fish, you feed him for a day, teach him to fish, and you'll feed him for a lifetime. And there's a lot of wisdom in that. Our previous generations, I believe, had a lot more wisdom than what we're teaching our young people today. But wisdom still works today. Wisdom still works. You know, I encourage dads, take those boys out and teach them to work at an early age. You won't kill them. It's not going to kill them to learn to work. Get out there, a good hard day of sweat. I'm tired. Listen, when you're tired, you don't want to go home and play Nintendo. You want to go to bed, right? And so there's a lot of wisdom involved in that. You know, sometimes a parent just wants to baby a child. Man, you're not doing them any good just by babying them. I agree. I believe you ought to love them, no doubt. But, man, to baby them and coddle them, you're not doing them favors. Teach them to work. Amen? And even at an early age, they can do chores and learn to do things. What are you doing? By doing that, you're making them a wise child. Amen? You're making them wise. All right, so gather in summer and be diligent in harvest. All right, let's move on. Number 6, verse 6. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Now, I looked up these words, blessings, and the word blessing simply means prosperousness or a blessedness. But now the word head is very interesting. The word head doesn't just mean like our head. It also refers to the top of something. Take your Bible, go to Genesis 28 with me. I want to connect a dot here, or a couple dots. Genesis 28. Verse 12 and verse 18. Go over there. Hold your finger there. And look at Genesis 28. Now, I looked up the word head, and it has the same meaning of a different word that is found in Genesis chapter 28, verse 12. Now, this is Jacob's dream. He has a dream where he sees this ladder going up to heaven. Now, verse 12, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. Now, the word top is the same word that is used as head in this verse, Proverbs, and it's talking about like at the very tip. So picture the top of the ladder, and this top of the ladder is the place where, you know, it has to be secure. And everything from that top on down is, if that top is where it's at, then everything down below it is blessed. In other words, you can climb that ladder and you can get all the way to the top, but wherever that top is, that's where he's talking about here in the verse of Proverbs. Okay, now look at verse 18. There's another word that means the same as head here in verse 18. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows, and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. Now, he's pouring oil on the top of the pillar. Now, what's going to happen when you pour oil on the top of a pillar? It's going to run down, isn't it? All the oil's going to run down because you poured it on the top. And wherever you start pouring it from that level, that's where it's going to go. So Jacob takes the oil and he's pouring it on top. Well, this oil is running down the whole pillow. Okay, so now what's the point? Okay, the point is that when a Christian, and the text is simply giving us this understanding here, blessings are on the head of the, from the top, these blessings come all the way down in life. When a person is wise, there's going to be blessings in their life. It's going to start with you, but it's going to have an effect. It's going to go all the way down to others, all the way down. It does not just stay on you. Your blessings also become blessings of others when you are wise. Amen? Our children benefit from a godly parent. They don't know it. They don't know it, but they do. So the principle here is that God is saying, all right, all the way from the top on down. And, you know, the dad's the head of the family. And when a dad is wise and lives his life wise, it's going to trickle down. But when a dad's not wise in his life, there's nothing to trickle down to those ones below. So we've got to heed wisdom in our heart. We've got to allow it to control our heart. Wisdom has to control us, or else we're not going to be controlled by anything good. So do you have that? Is that wisdom there? Is that wisdom in a controlling place in your heart? Okay, now let's go on. Verse number 7. Look at verse number 7. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. Now, I think this verse is teaching that there is importance in keeping a good name. There's importance in having a good name. You want your name to be a good name, known as a good name. We also see this in another verse. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. It's better to have little but a good name than to have a lot and a bad name. If I were to flash some names out at you, like Benedict Arnold. Most kids today aren't taught Benedict Arnold's actions, so some won't know. But Benedict Arnold was a traitor in the Revolutionary War to the United States. And it used to be when you would say the name Benedict Arnold, the name had a connotation that was like negative. And can you imagine his children growing up with the name? The kids go to school. Hey, tell us about your dad. My dad's Benedict Arnold. Can you imagine? See, that father created that name for his family. And see, wisdom reminds us. Wisdom is here to remind us that we are not just living for ourselves. We're living to pass something on. We're living really, in essence, for others, for somebody else. You say, well, I want to just live for myself. You know, the truth is that is impossible. Nobody just lives for themselves. Because even if you live good, then you are blessing others. If you live bad or you live wrong, then that negativity is being passed on to others too. It's impossible to live for just yourself. You can't do it. But so we have to remember that. We have to remember that. You know, the old school people used to teach their children, son, you are a Smith or a Jones or a Johnson. That's your name. Take care of your name. Now, I think there's some wisdom there. And the wisdom is in that we understand, identify that we're not living for ourselves. But that wisdom says, there's others around me that I'm influencing, affecting for good, for bad. How am I affecting others? When my name is brought up in conversation, what is the inference? What is gained by it? So I think there's a value in understanding that, you know, God has given us opportunity. I'll call it opportunity. God's given us opportunity to take what he's given us and not just use it for us, but to use it for God, for good. What about the name George Washington? We usually think of some good things about that. Adolf Hitler. Good thing he didn't have any children. Amen. That we know of. But good thing. Now, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that there is an importance in remembering that who we are. And by the way, listen, when you got saved, you got a new name. You got a new name. And that name is a representation of Jesus. And so, if my testimony isn't what it should be, then I'm taking the name of Jesus with me in that testimony. That's the reality. You say, you know, people don't think that way today. I'll tell you, people do think that way today. And it does affect us. It does influence us. And you see, a real blessed life is one that has a good and a blessed advancement to others. You know, you have to grow in wisdom, and part of that growth is getting past an understanding that I just want wisdom for me. I do. But there's more wisdom to grow in, and that I want wisdom in my life because I want others to have that wisdom. And I want to pour from the top. I want to pour that oil all the way down to those who are around me in my life. I don't care if I'm at Walmart and I don't even know that person. I want some kind of light from my life to enter their life. And so wisdom teaches us this. Wisdom teaches we're not living for just me. It's not just about my own life. And if I care about God's things, God will take care of our own personal lives. He will. He promises it. And so this begins by just pursuing wisdom so that we can be a blessing to other people. Because surely other people need earthly examples of wisdom. Don't we need to see somebody who has these real wisdom? We need to see that. So that we can be blessed and encouraged. And we need those patterns in our life. But God doesn't just want us to follow the pattern. God wants us to become the pattern for others in our life through wisdom. Wisdom is a tremendous thing. It's so valuable. The recesses of blessings that come from it are unending. And we just need to receive it. All right, well, we're going to stop there. Verse 7 this morning. We'll pick